You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to Life of an Accounting Droid. I'm your host, as always, Neil, bringing you episode number 76. So we're now in the new year 2017. So, of course, the usual getting used to writing a 7 instead of a 6, but got a lot going on this week. There were a few announcements at CES for this week. A lot of it, as far as I could tell, was Daydream related. There were a few product announcements. So I'll cover a couple of the more interesting ones. But by all means, check out the CES website or your favorite manufacturer to see what they're bringing. So there's that. Otherwise, I will get into the episodes. I'll have the usual theme, tech news, a game review. Entertainment segment, I'm going to be reviewing a TV show this week, then round it out with the Star Wars profile and You Can Relax segment. I also did get the Android 7 Nougat update for my OnePlus 3T, so I'll talk about that a little bit at the end of the tech news segment, just to cover some of the cool new things that the update brings. So with that being said, I'll jump right into the episode. So start it off with the theme for this week, in reference basically to the VR headsets that were announced in devices with more Daydream compatibility, I thought I'd make the theme for this week virtual currency. So this is basically the exchange or sharing of information between entities without the need or use of a central authority. So normally in currency related matters, it's a bank or other financial institution, foreign exchange market, that sort of thing. But using virtual currencies allows for the movement of currency without having to go through a financial institution. So the most recent example of a virtual currency would be Bitcoin. So they were able to start their own market. Bitcoin itself is the valuing factor, so it is more supposed to be a more tightly controlled fluctuation in its value. You're usually also relying on digital transactions, so rather than having to carry around physical currency, you will have to have a digital means of sharing that currency, and also have an active internet connection to validate that information as well. So with that being said, I'll jump right into the tech news. So to start it off, Swarovski is going to be launching an Android smartwatch around March of 2016 with the approximate general time frame of Q1. So look out for that in case you want a luxury smartwatch. There's no word yet if they're going, or I doubt that there's going to be Android Wear 2.0 running on it, but we shall see depending on when the final build of Android Wear 2 is rolled out. Google Assistant is gonna be rolling out to Android TV and Google Home this year, so look out for that. At the moment, Google Assistant is only on the Pixel and Pixel XL devices released by Google, but it's going to be integrated into more devices, so you can more easily communicate with those devices and get your questions answered. Google acquired a company called Limes Audio to improve the call recording and call quality in the G Suite of apps, or Google Suite of apps. So look out for that look out for more announcements on that coming soon. Google Calendar got an update to now have the ability to log workouts by syncing with Google Fit and Apple Health. So you can now track your workouts or get your workout summaries in Google Calendar as well, and then if you complete a workout based on its suggestions, it should better sync there as well. Asus announced a new phone called a Zenfone AR. It's a 5.7 inch display device, which is Daydream VR ready, has a quad core processor, 6 gigs of RAM, runs Android 7, has a 23 megapixel rear camera, 8 megapixel front camera, and a 3300 milliamp hour battery. So a very good spec device, and also very ready for Daydream. So if you do buy a VR headset, then it has that built-in compatibility, so you can get a better experience. And other Daydream VR compatible devices, the Huawei Mate 9 Pro and the Porsche Design Mate 9 were announced. They're both 5.5-inch display devices with 2.5 gigahertz octa-core high silicon Kirin 960 processors. I'm not sure what, I guess those are just the names, but they're 2.5 gigahertz. They have 4 gigs of RAM, 64 gigs of storage, which can be expanded to up to 256 gigabytes, and runs Android 7. So a few devices there that are high-end and Daydream compatible. For those of you who are in the Android ROM or development communities, Android or Google have released ADB and Fastboot binaries as individual downloads, so you no longer need to rely on third-party downloads or download the entire Android Studio in order to use ADB or Fastboot. And finally, Instagram for iOS is going to get an update to now support to soon support iOS 7's higher color range, as well as live photos. So if you do use Instagram on iOS, you'll soon see more vivid pictures. So that's all there is for that. So with that, I will jump into my quick update review for the OnePlus 3T with Android 7. So on New Year's Eve, the update started rolling out for OnePlus 3T users. It was a progressive rollout, but if you used a VPN, notably Canada and Germany were the two that seemed to work, you could get that update sooner. And that's actually how I did it. I didn't really feel like waiting. So I got the update. It went smoothly. Didn't have any hiccups that I could tell. It downloaded perfectly, rebooted, and a little bit came back, and it was available or ready to go. A few of the notable updates for Android 7 are that you can rearrange and edit your quick tile, so you have more customizable options there. The in-game or hidden in-game game for Android 7 is feeding your cats and collecting cats. So once you unlock your or do the usual build tools and get the cat options, you can go into your or edit mode for your notifications and add a dish, and you put out various foods like bits and fish, chicken and donuts, and you can collect various cats and rename them and that sort of thing. So I did that for a little bit. It was all right of a game. I preferred the other in-game games that were there before, but this is a good way just to, if you want to collect cats in your spare time. Android 7, though, also improves doze and battery performance, so you can, or it more effectively saves your battery when it's in your pocket or laying flat, so it doesn't even need to be sitting for a while. As long as when the screen is off, it goes into a better low-power mode to extend your battery life. The other feature, which I'm not sure if it's an Android 7 thing or a OnePlus thing, but it has the OnePlus or the update adds the ability to manage high power usage apps. So when you toggle the auto close toggle, if there's a high power app running in the background, the OS will automatically close that app so it does not drain your battery. So if you keep the toggle off, you'll get a notification telling you that there's an app running in the background that's using a lot of battery or using a lot of resources. Do you want to close it? And you can manually close it. So if there's an app that you know you don't want to close, then you can leave that toggle off. But for me, I've just turned on the toggle and let it auto-close apps, because for me, there's no real app that I know of, that I actively know of, that I need to regularly use resources. So that way it keeps your device from getting hot and keeps your battery life going as long as possible. So that is a pretty good feature for me. So when I go back when my screen's been off for a while and I want to go back to using my device, it is using the resources that are being managed as well as possible. And then finally, the feature that I like the most so far is multi-window mode. So as long as your app is compatible or able to run in multi-window mode, you can run two apps side by side. I'm assuming this is all for all Android 7 devices, but for what I noticed, I can set buttons to double tap or long press on them to launch multi-window mode. So I set it to double tapping on my recents button. So if I'm in, for example, Feedly and I want to send a headline note to somebody, I can double tap on my recents and launch a messaging app and send a message, or open Google Keep and leave myself a note or anything like that. There is an app that I'm working on a review for next week called Screens, which allows you to set a shortcut to automatically open two apps in multi-window mode. So the app number one would be on the top and app number two would be on the bottom. So when you touch the shortcut, it automatically goes into multi-window mode, and then you can rename it or name it whatever you want, and then also set a custom icon if you so choose. That's there's no icon selection by default in the app itself. So if you have an icon pack installed, then that makes it easier. Just long press, change your icon, and go from there. So I'll talk about that more a little bit next week and have a video review up for that. But that is by far the best thing. So for example, when recording podcasts, or if I'm in a phone call or on a video and I want to keep looking at that person and have research going on in the bottom, then I can do both at the same time. So that's all there is for that. So with that, I will jump into this week's game review. So for this week, so I know that Roller Coaster Tycoon Classic was released recently by Atari and for Google Play or for Android and iOS, but it's a game that costs $5.99. And I know coming off the holidays, I don't have that, you know, that money to spend. So I'm just thinking, is there any other world building game I could try out? And actually, it turns out that Atari released a game called Roller Coaster Tycoon for mobile, which is available for free. That is basically Roller Coaster Tycoon, but built for mobile devices. So it allows you to basically do the same thing. You can build your own amusement park with roller coasters, concession stands, restrooms, old benches, lights, and decorations, the whole nine yards, and accomplish goals at the same time. So rather than completing levels or going in freeform mode and building your own park, Roller Coaster Tycoon for mobile merges the two into one game. So you start building your own park. You can do it in freeform mode, but you also get coins and rewards for accomplishing goals. So let's say you build a hotel or motel, then you get some coins for that. Let's say you build a specific type of roller coaster, you get rewards for that. If you get so many guests or for whatever, you basically get a series of goals, and you get, as soon as you finish one, you get another one. But as you accomplish goals, you get coins and points and things like that, and then you can accomplish other goals. You build up your park, expand, and do all of that good stuff to attract customers, earn money, and become a roller coaster tycoon. And then as you build up your park and earn coins and things like that, you also level up, so you can also add other features to your park. So when you start, you can only build a wooden roller coaster, but as you upgrade, you can build a steel roller coaster, you can build a train, you can add various different types of concessions and things like that. So there's all sorts of various options. You can also upgrade your roller coaster. So if you can get various other additional features as well to improve your various rides and attractions and things like that. So I don't think I've been able to upgrade anything yet. I haven't gotten that far, but I can't wait to kind of see what that brings me and see what upgrades are available. And then the final feature is that you can also expand your park. So you get a default grid, just a small park, assuming that's all you basically you have a default amount of land, but you can also expand your park in various directions. So you, as you earn money, you can expand into all directions or into three directions to build a bigger park and have more rides and things like that. So it's available for Google or for Android and iOS for free in both Google Play and the iOS App Store. So it's definitely worth checking out. I'll have a video review in the show notes, so you guys can check it out, what it looks like, see how it looks. You can rotate the views as well. So that's actually pretty nifty if you want to see your park and attractions from various angles as well. See if you're building a roller coaster or a train or whatever around other attractions, then you can get those views as well. So that's all there is for that. So with that, I'll jump into the entertainment segment. So only one bit of news, and that The Man in the High Castle has been renewed for season 3. So look out for that, probably, I want to say, I'll assume for the end of 2017, but maybe into 2018. I didn't really see any specific release date yet, so we'll see about that. As far as what I watched, not too much for this week. I had a chance to rewatch Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, as well as Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark. The only notable part for Raiders of the Lost Ark is that I finally saw the little engraving of R2-D2 and C-3PO when Indiana Jones and Sala are getting the Ark from the map room, so that was pretty cool. I was glad I was able to see that. Watching it, I happened to just remember that that was a thing, so I remembered to look out for that. I also had a chance to start watching The Sopranos, so I had a chance to get through season 1, episodes 1 through 5, so pretty nifty. I know I'm only early on, but so far it seems like the TV version of Analyze This and Analyze That, where a mafia mob guy goes into therapy. So we'll see how it goes. So far, it seems pretty interesting. I'm going to keep watching and see where it goes. But that's really all I had a chance to watch so far. I did have a chance to rewatch Event Horizon just because it was on Amazon Prime streaming. So just to break up the Indiana Jones Sopranos mix I had going on. So with that, I will jump into this week's TV show review. So I had a chance to watch the new Celebrity Apprentice Season 15, Episode 1, In Here You Call Me Governor. So it aired on January 2nd, 2017. It had a runtime of approximately 2 hours, and that's with commercials, so probably about an hour and a half without. A summary of the episode is that after being divided into male and female teams, the celebrity contestants get their first assignment from their new bosses. Business advisors are Tyra Banks and Patrick Knapp Schwarzenegger. So the notable feature or idea behind this season is that the new boss is Arnold Schwarzenegger rather than Donald Trump, for obvious reasons why Donald Trump isn't doing it. And then we have Tyra Banks as one of his advisors, and then Arnold's I think nephew Patrick is the other advisor, and then we have our various celebrities. This is my first actual, I think, our first episode I've been watching in full that I can remember. I know I think I saw maybe one or two episodes prior, but I can never get into the show, and I just wanted to see where they would go with this. I was expecting, and probably that's my mistake, that there was basically going to be a lot of Arnold one-liners, and then we'll just see where the episode expands from there. And then it's obviously for the obvious good causes, where each week's winning, the team leader or for the team that wins gets money contributed to their charity of choice. So as far as a review of the episode itself, it's basically your Celebrity Apprentice themed with Arnold quotes, which I'll jump to in a little bit. I know early on, or the thing that I kind of liked but didn't like was early on Arnold telling John Lovitz that what his title was kind of fell flat, which is also the title of the episode. So John Lovitz was consistently calling Arnold Schwarzenegger by his first name, but Arnold made a point of saying that in the boardroom his title is Governor, not Arnold, so it doesn't matter what their relationship is, Arnold is still the boss, so he has to understand and respect that. So I know they did the usual zoom in and music, dramatic music and all of that, but that just kind of fell flat. There were, I don't know, it just seemed kind of quiet and didn't seem like it felt worked well for me. I knew the point of why he was doing it, but it didn't really work for me. As far as overall team performance, I like that, or I mean, I'm probably biased towards the men, but the men held each other accountable and played to their strengths rather than finger pointing like the women, which in both rounds, it seemed that's exactly what, or basically it happened both times, where the men played to their strengths. They figured out what everyone could do, what they couldn't do. And even if their men couldn't do something, they played that as a strength and said, here, like, isn't it, while it was corny, where it's like, here, isn't this funny that this football player, this musician, this other person, this so-and-so is doing this? They still played it off and they made it work, whereas the women assumed that just because they were doing a thing that they had the strength that they were automatically going to win. And then at the end, when it didn't work, they're like, this person didn't do that, or my idea was the best, things like that. So it kind of fell apart. So that was immediate thing I saw after the first round, and then the second round it went that way as well. And then the thing that kind of bugged me is that they had three Arnold one-liners in one episode. Granted, it was actually probably technically two, but because it was a two-hour premiere, but they basically had you're terminated in there for whenever, or they're going to use you, you're terminated whenever they fire someone. They had the first lady get to the chopper when she was terminated, and then Hasta La Vista Baby for the second lady who was fired, so I just thought that was kind of corny, and it didn't, I don't know, like, I'm not really against having Arnold say his one-liners from his movies, but having them right off the bat, or having them, you know, three in one episode seemed to kind of fall apart for me, so I was kind of hoping that they spread it out rather than all in one, so we'll see where they go from here, but I didn't expect it all at once. So that's all there is for that. So with that, for this week's Star Wars profile, I wanted to talk about a planet that was basically, I don't know what caused it to come in my head, actually, but I was just thinking about the planet Eriadu, Governor Tarkin's homeworld, and its significance to the Star Wars universe. So Eriadu is a planet in the Outer Rim under the control of the Empire. It is, as I said, the homeworld for Governor Tarkin, where he was able to unify the local transparent steel manufacturers. I think it was... actually, I forget the names offhand, but they were a small-time transparent steel manufacturer for ship, or basically space-based ships. So he was able to play the companies against each other and then build them up from their ashes into one planetary company to handle all transportation and manufacturing for transparent steel. This actually put the planet on the map and improved his standing politically with Emperor Palpatine. So they were originally distant, not necessarily distant, but they were slight friends, and then they became closer because of this, because Palpatine saw the potential of Tarkin to build things up from the ashes and improve productivity and efficiency for manufacturing in the Empire. So basically, this is a mix of Eriadu and Tarkin, but the planet itself became better known on the map because they were now a more efficient and productive part of the transparent steel manufacturing in the Outer Rim territory. So rather than be a small-time company, it's now a bigger player, and it helped launch a career of someone in the Empire. So that's all there is for that. So with that, I will jump into the You Can Relax segment. So for this week, I wanted to talk about that I listened to the Hamilton soundtrack. So I think it was last week, maybe the end of the week before Christmas, I was listening to an episode of The Morning Stream, and they were talking about Hamilton and how the soundtrack was available on Spotify and iTunes. So I don't actually use either one of those services, but I do use Amazon Prime. So I wanted to see as a Prime member that, or Amazon Prime Music, if I could listen to the album or the soundtrack via my Prime membership. And it is actually also available in Amazon Prime Music. So I decided to download and take a listen, see what all the hype and hubbub is about for Hamilton. And I want to say that I actually really, really enjoyed it. I didn't really go into it thinking that, oh, it's a musical or it's a play and it's going to be corny or weird. But I took it more on the side that it is a play and the music is actually supposed to be really good. It's a mix of hip-hop meets orchestra meets stage music. And it is all of that and more. So it's kind of hard for me to explain, but it is worth listening to. It handles a life through death of Alexander Hamilton. So the building the treasury, how he gained notoriety, the wars that he participated in, his wife, his lovers, all of that, and then also his duel with Aaron Burr and his relationship there. So it covers everything. It is actually definitely worth listening to, whether you have Amazon Music, Spotify, iTunes, even if you want to buy it on Google Play Music, you could do that as well. I don't know if it's streaming on Google Play, if you're a Google Play Red or Plus or whatever their service is called, but it's definitely worth checking out, and I do recommend listening to it if you are unable to see the play or go see the play in person. It seems like it's a good representation or a good way to get in on the play and listen to it and experience it for yourself. But that is all for this particular episode of Life of an Accounting Dory. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, anything like that, you can email me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com. You can find me on Twitter at PatelN01. You can find all links to prior episodes, subscription links, all of that good stuff at PatelN01.com. And if you like this show or want to find more shows on the Geek.io network, be sure to visit geek-io.net. But that is all. And actually, also before I forget, all video reviews and screencasts can be found on YouTube at youtube.com/PatelN01. But that is all for this particular episode. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time.